I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Got to be a first for everything, and this happens to be the first Dead Red Cincinnati road show. Road show, Sam. You like the road.
I love the road.
You like you some road trips.
I do.
I know you do. This one's Pittsburgh. Okay, Reds and Pirates. We've been at PNC Park, so Pittsburgh is the first stop for the Dead Red Cincinnati road show. And, you know, PNC Park routinely voted one of the top ballparks in baseball. And if you haven't been or haven't looked recently, they can make a pretty good case for one of the best parks in baseball. It's a pretty great place to watch a game.
For sure. I got some memories in that ballpark. I wouldn't put it, you know, towards the top of my list. I think maybe you get a little bit jaded by divisional. I mean, other than like a Wrigley, you know, I mean, Wrigley's, but get jaded by some of the interdivisional stuff because you're there so much. But having not been here in a long time, I appreciate it a little differently, and it hits pretty hard.
It's pretty good. All right, we should ask, you typically dress for the show. We should ask how you dressed for the show today.
Went with this. It's a gift from a buddy of mine. So it's the Wawa is like a 7-Eleven, I believe, in the northeast, you know, section of the country. So that's the symbol for it. Now, John is, and I still haven't quite figured this out, but apparently it's means everything and nothing all at once. Like, oh man, y'all were watching that Dead Red Cincinnati, John. I don't know. I mean, I'm not even sure how to use it, but I think that's kind of, you just throw it in there anywhere and you're good to go. So that's what we got here. Sully, appreciate you, bro.
Always appreciate the effort. Always the
man.
Effort. Wardrobe for the show.
It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by accident.
Only some things do. All right, we start the show. Let's do this. Since we're on the topic, since we're on the road, let's do top three road cities for Sam LaCure, the ball player. It might be different now that we're not, you know, we're older. You're not currently playing. But when you were on the road with regularity, when you were getting it done, top three road cities were what?
Chicago is one for the food and the day game. The day game, you know, typically on all these road trips, you're playing games at night. You don't really get to experience the city. So being able to have day games and go to dinners in Chicago, that's definitely way up at the top of the list. I think getting to go to like a San Diego, just because it was beautiful. I'd never been to that part of the country. Also had a couple of good memories there of some spice and enjoyed that. New York. The more I went to New York, and I'll couple the two, the Mets and the Yankees, because I think we stayed at the same hotel for both. But the more I went to New York, the more I started to fall in love with it and get to know the city. So I would say, yeah, Chicago, New York, San Diego. Just feel like a pretty good three.
That's a pretty good list. And it should be noted that the dead red Cincinnati Bell did not make the road show packing list.
I was wondering about that. I got no microphone. I got no internet up in here anyway.
Gonna work on that next time we pack for sure. All right, let's start with this. The leadoff spot today is gonna be, we've talked so much about these division games for the Reds. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, the division is what you need. And right now, the good thing is that I think the division is very much up for grabs, with the exception of Milwaukee. Every team is bunched together tightly at this point in the season. And I certainly don't think Milwaukee by any stretch is out of reach for any of the teams that are currently below Milwaukee. And that's common baseball talk. Division games are important.
Yeah.
But what else do we think is important here? You touched on this when we had this conversation when we got to town. What we think is important is that these games, you mentioned spice, these games, wouldn't they be better if they were a little more testy? Wouldn't they be better if we had some of that bad blood that rears its head from time to time? Yeah. Wouldn't it be better if fans came to the ballpark specific to cheer and boo against a certain player or a certain team? Am I wrong?
I love the idea of it. And that's, you know, was one of the first things that I remembered coming into Pittsburgh, because I mean, you want to talk about a rivalry with some edge to it. I mean, it was a sharp edge. I'll say that. I do think that that's the case. And a lot of this is based on the fact that you see these teams a lot. You know, I mean, it's divisional. It's, you know, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you can talk about that. It's divisional. It's geographical. And I think that, yeah, of course, that adds some flavor to it. You have more opportunities to hate some of these people, I guess is the best way to put it.
Sure. But
they're hard to find. Like, a true rivalry is hard to find now because it's all buddy-buddy. You know, and don't get me wrong, there's still some wolves in sheep's clothing out there that, you know, they're going to say the right things and whatnot. But when they get between the lines, like, they're going to try and claw your eyes out. And I love that. I love not knowing who that is to some degree. But I think just on a general scale, I'd like to see some more of that. I know that maybe doesn't sound like, you know, friendly or whatever it is. I mean, I'm a pretty friendly guy. But, man, when I never talked to any, even friends I played in college with, you know, it'd be like a head nod from across the field. Like, you would never catch me dead hugging somebody from the other team in sight of a fan or anybody for that matter. You know, I mean, that was just not the way it was going to be. So, and I thought I was, you know, I was thinking about an Andrew McCutchen, possible tease. we'll see how that goes. But thinking about him and, you know, kind of what went on with those teams as I pulled into town, and I just, you just don't see that much anymore. So there's not, you know, Boston and New York is just a rivalry because it's a rivalry. They don't hate each other, like, which
they don't.
I don't think the players on those teams, because everybody's switching teams so much now.
Right.
Like, the same core group of guys are together for 6 years.
Right.
But I think that there's seeing the youth on the Reds team and the Pirates team now and where they're at. They're going into yesterday, they had identical records. They've got some good pitching. They've got some young talent. I thought maybe they could grow to hate each other.
And listen, your point is, does the rivalry, you know, is it driven by fans
yeah.
or players and players or both? Because listen, Reds fans hate Cubs fans, but do they really hate anyone on that Cubs team right now?
Ian, you know, I don't. But he's from Cincinnati.
That's insane. They don't like to see him, but they don't hate him. He's not a villain.
Yeah.
He's a player that kills the Reds, but he's not a villain. The game has certain villains and rivalries have certain villains. And that's going to be our tease for something coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, those players or the ones that we can come up with that maybe fit that role. But the longer conversation is, some things take time, and teams in transition, these things have to develop over time. There has to be something to cause it. You can't have a rivalry with two bad teams. Teams have to be better. They have to be good. It has to be engaging. But, man, you hope that by the end of this season, some of these division games, Yeah. You hope teams are in contention. You hope guys are seeing it that way. And, you know, you hope that the fan bases see it that way, because that's what gets people to the games, gets them into the games.
So. I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, I mean, you're starting to see it when you have magnetic players like, you know, Ellie, obviously he's getting booed on the field, you know, in cities he's never even been, because the name precedes it, right? So they find one guy to key on a little bit, and then he does something like he was about to clip Paul Skeens, you know, the other night, and he was going to pimp it, you know, and I think that would have really got under the skin of some of the fans there. And I think it would have got under the skin of Paul Skeens after seeing how he goes about his business. I don't know if he necessarily would have gone out and thrown at somebody, but that's the match that you need to strike to get this thing to happen. And look, man, right. I want it to be a competitive game. I'm not saying I certainly don't want anybody to get hurt, but I'd like to see somebody almost get hurt.
Yeah. And I'd like to see some of this.
I'd like somebody to get their feelings hurt. Yeah.
Right. I'd like to see the bat flip and then somebody barking at somebody from the dugout. I'd like to see somebody barking from the mound. Those things can build and add layers to the competition.
I completely agree.
I hope we get to that point. Speaking of Paul Skeens, quick take on
John on.
Speaking of Paul Skeens, a quick take on Skeens, because we had a chance to see him for the first time. And you start to think about great young players in this division that might be the faces of hopefully some teams in this division. And when I saw the Paul Skeens stuff originally when it happened, the first thing that I thought of is, man, Pittsburgh has had some guys that fit this same profile, and they're all gone. The Pirates traded Garrett Cole. They traded Jameson Taillon. They traded Joe Musgrove. And those are organizations.
Tyler Glass now.
All these guys have been Pirates, and none of them are currently Pirates. And so you hope that the Pirates organizationally are in a different direction where, you know, maybe Paul Skeens is a longtime starter in Pittsburgh. Maybe he's a superstar in Pittsburgh. But that was the first thing I thought of. But let's get back to having seen him pitch and his trajectory right now from number one overall pick to less than a year later, the Pirates having won six of his first seven starts. What struck you about Skeens?
What struck me is that for a guy that would come up to be able to throw 100, he didn't. I mean, he threw 100, but he didn't throw it a ton.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to make an adjustment inning to inning, immediately.
Yeah.
They hit the fastball hard, and they hit some other pitches hard throughout the game. I mean, they really did. I thought to the Reds' credit, I hope they feel good about how they attacked him. Just didn't have anything to show for it. But his ability to go and have a true five-pitch mix, like that he was throwing different things. I mean, he pitched last night with exceptional stuff. And I think that his trajectory is going to be fast. I mean, he's the ace of the staff less than a year after getting drafted. I mean, he's the ace of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Keller may have something to say about that, but I mean, I think if they happen to get to a wild card game this year, it'd be hard for me to imagine anybody else but Paul Skeens starting that game. And Mitch Keller's been good. They've got another guy named Jared Jones. He's been good. They've got some more veteran type guy, but this guy really carries himself right. I mean, you saw it being able to go to some of these other little trick pitches that he's got, the curveball. He's starting guys with a curveball. He was 2/3 non-fastball to 1/3 fastball. That would be, you know, so he threw 66% anything else but a fastball. And then the 100-mile-an-hour fastball was his not least used, but generally speaking, it was. So that impressed me, just his ability to be able to flip the script mid-game and go, all right, they're on this pretty good. I'm going to go to something else. It's pretty rare.
Yeah, pretty rare. So the Steven Strasburg comp, young Kerry Wood comp. Is there a player currently a little bit more established that comes to mind that you think maybe a little bit like that guy?
Not really. I mean, usually I'm pretty good. And usually I'm pretty good at that. I mean, the first time I see somebody, it's like, oh, boom, he's like this guy. There's nobody that really comes to mind that has kind of features what he's featuring at the level that he's featuring.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. I mean, you put me on the spot there, as I'm trying to think of somebody, it's not quite the same arsenal because that little splinker splitter unit he's got is unique. But I'm like trying to think body type. I'm thinking mound presence. I'm thinking Garrett Cole was the guy that came to mind.
6'6", 235.
That's a big boy.
For Paul Skeens is a big boy. Here's hoping he has a long career at Pittsburgh, healthy career. And we can talk about those rivalries and the Reds and Nick Lodolo against Paul Skeens or Hunter Green and Paul Skeens. That's where we're headed with all this.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Certainly hope. All right, Reds are currently in a spot right now where Graham Ashcraft is working on things at AAA. He had been a part of the starting or the five-man rotation. And the Reds have some great things in that they have some options and some versatility in players like Nick Martinez, Carson Spires, who pitched in this series in Pittsburgh. You're uniquely qualified to paint a picture of what those guys face right now, having both started, having come out of the bullpen. You've done both. All of your starts came early in your career. And I think that's not uncommon because you started and gave them that versatility for a couple of years, and then you became primarily a bullpen player. What are those guys facing right now, and what's the upside and the downside to going back and forth if you see one at all?
The upside, I feel, is like if you throw it all in a blender, you know, if you throw your starting and your relieving and that mentality, if you can blend it together and find that best version of yourself that lies in the middle of it. And it's a tough thing to do, because what I like about Carson is that he knows what he has to do to be successful at this league, and that's going to be at any time. For Nick, I think it's a little bit different. I think the negative of going back and forth is the preparation part of it. I was horrible the 4 days between starts, thinking too much, you know, thinking about the last start or thinking too much about the next one. And there was a black hole there for me, especially if I pitched bad. It was, you know, I couldn't wait to get back out there, but I knew I had to wait. And it's like, all right, well, blah. And so the bullpen role certainly suited me because I went to the ballpark knowing I had a chance to play every day. I really liked that. I knew that I could kind of air it out is a relative term, but, you know, go out there and air out my best stuff for, you know, an inning or two And there was some trickeration to it because just the fastball that I had was, you know, uncommon, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think the positive side is you can learn a lot about yourself. I always thought after I spent time in the bullpen that I would have loved another opportunity to start because of what I'd learned about attack mode from the bullpen. The bullpen role was best for me. And anyhow, but so on the back side of it, the poor side, yeah, definitely just not knowing how to prepare, not knowing mm-hmm. when to get your, you know, because you want to be consistent with your work. When am I throwing a bullpen? All right, well, I'm a bullpen guy now, but I haven't thrown for 6 days. I'd really like to get off of the mound, but I might be used tonight, so I can't do too much, you know, because there's mm-hmm. only so many bullets in the arm. It's not like taking batting practice where you can take 100 swings or 300 swings in a day and still have that in you to be able to go make the move in the game. It's not that way with pitching, right? So I think that's the hardest thing is knowing how to stay sharp in flux.
Yeah, no, I get it. And those guys each has shown the ability to do that, and you don't know where they land long term. You don't know if the rest of the way Nick Martinez is going to be that guy who does both.
Yeah.
But again, as we've said, the overwhelming advantage of it is the Reds have someone that has proven they can do it, and that hasn't always been the case. And so going forward, I think that's going to be something certainly to watch to see how those players are used. The road for Graham Ashcraft, all those things, you know, unforeseen injuries that you hope don't happen, but usually do. The Reds have some options that way, and we'll watch those.
Which is great, especially given the fact that they're going to have guys that they have to shut down at certain points or skip starts to manage workloads. So to have guys like that who on a bullpen day, it could just maybe it might be Nick and Carson covers the whole game, and then your bullpen's still set for the rest of the series, you know, things like that. So we'll see how it plays out. But I like both of those guys. They need to be pitching for sure. In what role, I don't think either of them cares, but there are pluses and minuses.
All right, five and dive now. Let's revisit the conversation at the top. And you have to be pretty specific about this. The topic as we
current?
The topic is we originally imagined it would be five players Reds fans love to hate. I don't think we can do five current players.
I don't either.
And I think the other qualifiers are that you coming from a player's perspective, me coming from a broadcast perspective, might not be the guy that sits in the outfield bleachers and drinks Bud Light, you know? And so there's that. And also it's just this the fan thing. So I struggled with this. But let's do this and it can be a little bit more informal.
Let's play with it for a second.
Let's throw some things out there. There's one villain for Reds fans that I can think of. One villain was the first guy that came to mind was
currently?
No.
Oh,
that's close enough.
Close enough, Yadier Molina.
Yadier Molina. The only player that this generation of Reds fans that I can think of
probably still
every
hate.
Time he stepped up, he's booed. Yep. And that stems certainly from the dust up with Brandon Phillips and that group. Which was also fun for some people, not everybody. And again, we go back to the injury thing. You don't want the injuries to happen. But Yadier Molina fit the individual villain on great teams that made a difference, that always came through. All of those things feed into being hated by an opposing fan base.
Definitely.
And I loved it. I
could absolutely see how he could be despised. Because he was definitely a pain in the butt.
All right, throw out another one.
I mean, there had to have been a time Andrew McCutchen was probably not a fan favorite because he was winning MVPs. They were competitive. I mean, for all the same reasons that Yadi was, it's mm-hmm. you hated to see him come up in a situation. I feel like he was definitely one. And now that he's back, it's kind of the genesis of this whole road show that we're doing here. And kind of the thought process behind it was, you know, oh, wow, there's somebody on this team that I played with. He's playing with or old as Chapman, which is interesting in its own right. But he was a guy that I would have thought at that time. I want to say I'm trying to think of a guy from each team. The Cubs, when I was playing, weren't good. So nobody really cared.
Right.
But now there's like, you know, I mean, it is Ian Happ every time. Like, you hate him as because he just kills you, but he's not a he's not showing anybody up.
Not
he's
a bad not, dude.
He's not a bad dude. You know, he's not chirping at anybody.
So two more players to put in that category. Players that just killed the Reds, but maybe didn't – the emotion didn't rise to the level of I hate that guy. It's just that guy again? Ian Happ, Lance Berkman, Roy Oswalt. Roy Oswalt killed the Reds. I mean, they never beat Roy Oswalt. So there was that. People hated Jim Edmonds, you know? Jim Edmonds was the guy that they just hated, and it was sometimes hard to see where it came from. I got a couple of more. You got anything on your list here?
No.
There was some of that angst directed at Ryan Braun.
Okay, I was like, who's the team I'm forgetting? Yeah,
that goes back into, you know, the allegations of things that may or may not have happened, but that feeds into that. That's why, partly why people hated Bonds, partly why they hated A-Rod. You can manufacture some things based on what you want to do, but you look forward to getting back to some of those things. And again, I think Yadier Molina is the perfect thing. There wasn't anything about Yadier Molina that I would come into question. He was the classic guy of you hated him, playing against him, but man, wouldn't you love to have him on your team?
that was a time where if I was going to start a team, it would, because he affected the game like nobody else I'd ever seen play.
Yeah, it was nuts. And don't mess with a dude with neck tattoos. That's one of my rules.
I'll have to work on that.
You're gonna lose if you fight the guy with neck tattoos. All right, let's go to the stretch now. And for the stretch, I would like, how did we want to phrase this for the stretch? A great story or what you remembered most when you talked about walking into PNC Park and all that stuff hits you at the same time and you went, oh man, I remember what?
All right, so, and I know we're on the clock. I got three of them. I'll really be specific to one. One is Homer Bailey's no-hitter.
Ding.
Remember? Yeah, I know. I missed the bell. I didn't realize how much I missed it. Homer's no-hitter because I came out of the bullpen hot. Can't believe
number
I didn't
one
blow
guy.
A hammy. Number one guy. Yep. The third would be – it was my last major league game was in that ballpark.
Didn't know that. I didn't know
it. I know. Yeah.
I had not thought of that.
So there's a lot of that. And then the 2013 wildcard game. Cueto. The ball. Johnny had been hurt for a little while. And I think it made a start or two. And then it was like, all right, we're in the wildcard game. Johnny Cueto. I mean, it's Johnny Cueto, right? I can't remember how everything shook out to where. But it was like Johnny Cueto. I mean, you thought about it. It was like, man, that's quick for him, but it's Johnny Cueto. So let him ride. And then, they're doing the Cueto thing, drop the ball. And everybody out there is just like a caged lion. Like, you, it's Johnny Cueto, so you want to let him handle it. But it's like, let me at him. Like, let me go in there and get this done. And then I got in at some point, got to a 1-2 count on Andrew McCutchen. I never threw him in because I remember the first time I saw him play, I was like, this guy's hands are so fast. Like, there's nobody in this game. I don't care if it's Aroldis Chapman can get a fastball by him on the inside part of the plate. So I never even considered it, but Mazzarocco calls one over there. And I was like, all right, you need to get on it. So I tried to get on 1-2 count, came up and got him in the shoulder. And I mean, the place, I can't believe I showed my face in this ballpark. I mean, they wanted to skin me. And I mean, boo, boo, boo. And like, I'm like over there by Cutch. I don't want things to escalate because I know the history of what's been going on. So I go over to Cutch as he's walking down. I mean, he's pissed because it's up. I'd be curious to hear what he might think about this. And maybe we'll talk to him. He's walking down the first baseline. I'm like, hey, bro, like, good? It's like, good. And I remember him saying after the game, he's like, I've never seen another player do that. I did not want the roof to blow off of this place and make their piss their fans off anymore. But that's how I remember it. And that game is probably the most memorable, and unfortunately, in a loss. Bing.
Great stories. Good story time for the stretch. Sam, we're out of time. Tell our good faithful, loyal listeners and viewers everything they need to know, please.
Click a link wherever you find them, however you normally listen. Like them, rate it, subscribe to it, whatever.
And
it
tell
is.
A friend.
Yeah, and tell that, hit that John button. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm going to call my boy from Philly and we're going to figure this thing out. But yeah, to the Wawa folks of the Northeast, peace.
Awesome, man. See you at the ballpark.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
She said, get out the chat room and clean mine.
Glad Stretch, feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.